Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I am excited to piggyback off the brilliance of Jhené Egbuemeke, who told you here first Playoff P was going to show up last night. What did you do, Jhené?
He balled out. He balled all the way out.
Balled all the way out. Paul George, a monster game last night as the Clippers get a must win in that series. It's Jhené Egbuemeke Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And we got a hell of a guest list we'll tell you about in just a minute here today. But Jhené, that was certainly the news last night, and we will get to that. And really, what started making even more news, some comments from their head coach last night in Doc Rivers. But we're seeing right now in front of our very eyes, we're getting ready to come on air here, and our own Adrian Wojnarowski is tweeting out some pretty important information on the basketball game that we think might be getting played here in a few minutes, but we don't know right now.
Yeah, it's an ever-evolving situation. As everyone has seen throughout the course of the day, the Toronto Raptors, the Celtics have been the teams we've mentioned that are discussing how they are trying to approach their next playoff series, which is round two, but there's still playoff games going on right now, and Adrian Wojnarowski, our own Woj, just tweeted 4 minutes ago, the Milwaukee Bucks still haven't come out to the court for game six with the Orlando Magic. And there's been some discussion within the Bucks about a boycott. He reported this with Malika Andrews, who joined us yesterday. NBA officials have gone into the Milwaukee locker room. So, and I said game five, right? Because I know there was a typo in the tweet.
Yes,
game
I five, say. Right? You okay, said good. You said game five on
the
that
game
one.
Currently now.
And Malika Andrews tweeted 4 minutes ago, as we're just reading tweets to start the show, but this is how it's unfolding right now. Malika just quoted Woj and said, the Orlando Magic are currently on the court warming up, and then the Orlando Magic have left the court with 3:56 left until game time. So I'm not sure if that's something they would have done otherwise or what, but the situation right now, I think at best we can say, is in question for this game, and we mentioned the Raptors-Celtics, who are supposed to start the second round of the NBA playoffs with a game that's now all being called into question because everything we've seen in the wake of the Jacob Blake shooting yesterday. And it's wild to watch this evolve in real time, Jhené, because we know meetings took place, and we saw this across the world of sports. The Detroit Lions called off their practice yesterday. We talked to Mike Rothstein, our ESPN Lions reporter, about how that meeting came together, but it sounds like there was also a meeting last night amongst the Celtics players, amongst the Raptors players, about what they're trying to do going forward, and I guess we wait and see what their plan looks like now, Jhené.
Yeah, there was great reporting from Chris Haynes. He mentioned an assembly organized by players who were emotionally traumatized by the latest police shooting, as you mentioned, by of Jacob Blake, and the union was the one that sort of held this all together. Chris Paul was on there, I believe Andre Iguodala was on there as well. The union's approach was to educate players on the pros and cons of boycotting games. So if this is happening in real time, the union is there hand in hand, step by step, with the players in trying to evaluate and assess the pros and cons of making such decisions, reassuring them, most importantly, that they would be supported regardless of whatever they decide to do. So it is something that is on the forefront of not just the games that are impending, where we've been discussing it coming to the second round, but it's now seems like it's happening in real time with games that are going on now as well.
Yeah, and so we'll keep everyone abreast of what's going on in this situation as it pertains to the Bucks Magic, because it's obviously the situation that's coming up next in this spot. But Jhené, it does bring up the question now as we look at this, and we've heard it seems like a processing it for these guys. And I know we talked to Mark Spears yesterday, writer for The Undefeated, who mentioned a lot of these guys, as they're getting ready to have their families come and join them in the bubble, fathers looking at their children, knowing that Jacob Blake was shot 8 times in front of his 3 children in a car, that all of this, the familiarity of this, and certainly seeing a person that looks like them in this situation again, seems to have really put these guys in a situation. And we know mentally already inside the bubble, there's a lot of weird, different stressors involved in all this. And I can't imagine what it's like to try and handle that right now for anyone inside the NBA or the WNBA bubble to that point.
Yeah, it's difficult. And, you know, I went on SportsCenter early today and sort of explained the reaction to Doc Rivers and what he said. And the idea is that this is not an isolated incident in which people are having a reaction to. It's a summation of incidences that we have experienced in our everyday lives. And we see someone that looks like us, that could have been us based on certain situations, or not even just us. It could have been our neighbor. It could have been our aunt, our uncle. And everything is so relatable for our community. And now we're trying to relate our crisis to others.
And Jhené Egbuemeke Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., 2-time WNBA All-Star, Jhené Egbuemeke. And you mentioned Doc Rivers, who last night after what should have been a win that him and his team could celebrate in a moment that was a big turning point. We talked about the basketball importance of in that series. Instead, took the time after the game to open up and was very emotional discussing his latest reaction to the treatment of black and brown bodies in this country. Here was Doc Rivers after their win last night talking about this.
All you do is keep hearing about fear. It's amazing to me why we keep loving this country and this country does not love us back. And it's really so sad. Like, I should just be a coach. And it's so often reminded of my color. We're the ones that need to be scared. We're the ones having to talk to every black child. What white father has to give his son a talk about being careful if you get pulled over? It's just ridiculous. And it just keeps going. There's no charges. Breonna Taylor, no charges, nothing. All we're asking is you live up to the Constitution. That's all we're asking for everybody, for everyone. Thank you.
You may have just heard his cries, but do you care to know why he is so moved to speak like this so powerfully? Well, did you know that Doc Rivers met his wife while playing basketball, college basketball at Marquette? Doc is obviously a black man, and Chris, his lovely wife, is white. And while those two, you know, have a beautiful relationship, a beautiful family, interracial relationships, we all know how they can be perceived at times. So much so that I believe there was, like, when they started dating, her family home was vandalized with racial epithets. Can't imagine that even experience now. While Doc and his family, their four children were living in San Antonio, there was a suspicious fire where many believed that it was fueled by racial hatred and hate crimes, in which Doc and Chris's oldest son, Jeremiah, once said that my house has been burned to the ground, animals tortured and burned as well, along with anything we've ever loved and held treasured because of the color of my dad's skin. We lost everything and had to start over. So there have been repeated instances in which not only Doc and his family, but just the community surrounding him has had to deal with race and the prejudices in society. And we all know about how Doc's journey as a coach, especially during his tenure with the Clippers in the period in which Donald Sterling was the owner, he had to also deal with that situation as well. So this is not just him reacting to the news cycle in which Jacob Blake is currently fighting for his life based on, you know, being shot in the back seven times at least. This is where I say this is generational trauma. This is something he's dealt with every day in his existence. This is something that his family has been traumatized by as well. And this is a normal experience to a lot of people in the black community. And so when this continues to happen, we felt like we are the generation in which we can make this stop happening. But why is this still happening? And that is the cry, and that is the context, and that is why he chooses to speak and use his platform. Granted that, you know, our job, and I said this earlier on air, our job as athletes, our job as coaches are to go to media availability and to speak, but also our job in our community is to advocate for others. And that is where that converges.
It is where that converges. And it's something that you mentioned yesterday, you can't unplug from. And Doc Rivers said there, I would like to just be a coach in this situation. I heard Dominique Foxworth pouring his heart out earlier, saying what it would be like to be able to wake up and be white and to have the choice of whether or not to engage when these things come up in a way that you sit back and reflect and realize it is not the case for our counterparts in this situation. And so that's the difficulty of a lot of this. It's the difficulty surrounding this entire conversation. So we've got a lot of other people that are going to join in on this conversation with us today. A lot of great voices that are going to talk around this subject and on this subject with us. Chinay Angola Jr., presented by Progressive Insurance. Our guest list today includes Jerry Stackhouse, is going to join us coming up here in just a minute. Stephen A. Smith, Mark J. Spears, and Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst. And Laisha Clarendon, who's going to join us, obviously representing a lot of the voices inside the WNBA bubble on this subject. If you miss any of those guests, you can listen to all 3 hours on demand in the ESPN app. We will also keep you up to date on what is happening as the situation around the Milwaukee Bucks and Orlando Magic's playoff game remains unclear. That's all coming up next. It's Chinay Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Boy, oh boy, we got some breaking news here today, courtesy of a tweet from our very own Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN NBA insider. The Milwaukee Bucks have decided to boycott Game 5, sources tell ESPN. So their Game 5 game against the Orlando Magic will not be played. It is officially delayed right now. We saw from a tweet from Woj, top NBA execs are outside the Milwaukee locker room but haven't gone inside. That was moments before that. So unsure of what this means as far as the series, if this is a forfeiture, if it is postponed, or how exactly this works, Chiney. But certainly history in a lot of ways being seen happening right before our eyes.
Look, I wouldn't be surprised if the union is understanding what the player's sentiments are and also their rationale in making such a decision and also choosing to make it so close to game time, just because these decisions get scrutinized and then there's pressure. And so I feel like this is a moment. This is a huge moment where there has not been a long wait, and we've been talking about other teams where it's the Raptors, the Celtics, but now this matchup, these conversations are not isolated conversations. These are conversations that are happening throughout all players in the league. So to boycott a game is a statement, and now we will see what further statements come through players' choices in speaking, or even the union's choice in speaking very soon.
Yeah, or Adam Silver at some point. I'd imagine the commissioner of the NBA's voice is going to be one. It's certainly been at the forefront of many conversations before. All of that we are waiting to see, and we would certainly be very interested in the perspective of our next guest. We're delighted to be joined now by Vanderbilt men's basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse with us here on Chiney and Golic Jr. Coach, we appreciate your time, and obviously a lot to get with you and talk about, but curious now, as Game 5 between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Orlando Magic has been postponed, your reaction to this news?
Well, I mean, I think it's a grand gesture. I think you've been talking Toronto and Boston. You've been hearing the rumblings that they were talking about possibly boycotting as well. But I just think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you got to do something. You can't just keep watching people get killed in the streets right in front of you, and there's no recourse. I mean, I don't know exactly what. Obviously, it's going to hurt the league. How is it really going to impact what went on in Kenosha, or what's been happening in other countries across, I mean, other cities across the country? But it's a start. I mean, just like, man, we got to take a stand, got to take a step in the right direction to try to figure this thing out.
Jerry, I have profound respect for you, your leadership, dating back to where I saw you at the G League Showcase in Mississauga, where you were coaching the Toronto 905 and the Raptors as well. We know your tenure there and now with Vanderbilt, and I have seen how tremendous of a leader you are and a tremendous motivator as well. As a Black man in America, watching Jacob Blake and dealing with this personally, but also knowing that you are a leader in many communities, both, you know, now Vanderbilt, but also in the NBA through your legacy playing the game and also your relationships. How has your last 48 hours been?
It's really been difficult. It's been difficult to watch with everything that has gone on with George Floyd and the attention to play to Breonna Taylor. You would hope that, you know, things would kind of calm down a little bit, but it seemed like it's gotten even worse. I mean, and it's really disturbing, but it's like, again, I just feel numb. I mean, we want to do something. We want to make a statement. We want to do something that's impactful, but it's trying to figure out what those things. I've talked to my pastors. I've talked to my other mentors, and just trying to figure out how can we make an impact. And everyone's just like, you know, just kind of at a loss right now. I mean, like what can we do? But I think this is a start. Obviously, I think the NBA has been an ally, obviously, with the Black Lives Matters, them being able to do things with the court and the presentation, what they're doing. They've stepped up from a financial standpoint and joined with the union to make a significant contribution to try to fight systemic injustice and social injustice. So, you know, I don't know if it's the right target group. I mean, the ones that, because they need to play the games, understanding the language of the CBA and what needs to happen there. These games need to go on for a lot of reasons, just to kind of preserve what needs to happen for the future of the players in the NBA. But I definitely get it. I understand these guys are, you know, we as Black men I mean, it's two sides of it. There's guys that have, like, you know, I was listening to Keyshawn and said that he's laid down on the ground. And there's a lot of guys that, you know, we've escaped it. The privilege that we've had of being professional athletes or being, notarized throughout since I was high school. I think that might have could have saved me from being George Floyd. Oh, man, that's Jerry Stackhouse. What are you doing? As opposed, but again, you don't know. So you can put yourself in that same situation and see how that could just easily be me, and it's really frightening for me, my family, and my two boys that I have.
Talking to Vanderbilt head basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse with us here on Chinay and Golic Jr. And, Coach, you mentioned it this summer, so many events unfolding, starting with the death and the killing of George Floyd. How have you addressed it with the young men that you're tasked with leading, your team members, and the young men on campus under your charge?
Well, we've had a lot of meetings and a lot of discussion. I mean, we've had plenty of time to kind of, you know, let this stuff simmer. But I think our guys, I mean, we got really smart kids, and they're anxious, and they want to do something. They want to protest. But I think as leaders, we hold that charge and making sure that they're doing it in a tactful way, making sure that they're doing, whatever they're doing is well organized and well put together. But we know that there's things that they want to do, and we have to listen to them. This Generation Z is one of the smartest generations that we've seen. And I think and they don't live with so much of the bias that we have. I mean, I don't even feel like I've dealt with as much of, you know, the racial bias and different things just in my time. And I was born in the 70s. That was right on the tail end of civil rights. So they just have a different perspective. And I think we just really need to let them lead the way but of course show them and guide them and give a blueprint of how to do it and do it in a tactful and meaningful way.
Certainly important for them to have voices like you leading the way and giving them the space to have those conversations. Coach, we appreciate you coming on and doing the same with us. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me. Have a great one.
Vanderbilt head coach Jerry Stackhouse with us here on Chinay and Golic Jr. Obviously, a lot to react to coming off of his comments there about what happens next with the league. As he mentioned, certainly there are stipulations in the CBA that will have to be considered as we wait to see what happens with the Toronto Raptors and the Boston Celtics as well. We'll get to more of that, plus more fallout from, again, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Orlando Magic announcing that they will be boycotting Game 5 of their playoff series. We will get to all of that coming up on Chinay and Golic Jr. after this word from DraftKings. Now, everybody, listen up here. The leader in one-day fantasy sports is celebrating the return of sports by giving away up to $100 million in prizes to all their customers, including one lucky winner who will take home $1 million cash prize. To claim your share of up to $100 million in instant giveaways, all you have to do is download the app and sign up using promo code CJR, then enter DraftKings Free Football Survivor Pool. It's an easy way to claim a share of up to $100 million in instant giveaways and put yourself in the running for a $1 million cash prize. Don't forget to check out all the great daily fantasy contests DraftKings is hosting for this week's basketball and golf action. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code CJR to claim your share of $100 million in instant giveaways and put yourself in the running for that $1 million cash top prize. That's promo code CJR. Get your share of $100 million in prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back after this, it's Chinay and Golic Jr.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The pace is frenetic right now inside the NBA bubble. News continuing to unfold, and we will do our best to bring it to you as we hear it. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And we just talked to Vanderbilt men's basketball coach and obviously former NBA star Jerry Stackhouse. And one of the things he brought up was the need, as he put it, for these games to be played as time goes on in this because of language in the collective bargaining agreement, the future of the sport, and the league's relationship with the players, certainly a part of this. And so to follow up on that conversation, we wanted to invite in our ESPN front office insider, Bobby Marks, on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4 wear testing using SAE 5W30. Bobby, we appreciate the time on short notice, and we saw you tweeting about this. So what can you tell us now about the ramifications for these teams from a league sense when it comes to the Bucks and the Magic choosing to boycott Game 5?
Yeah, I mean, this is really fluid, and it's also the unknown, right? We've never gone through. I think the closest was with the Clippers back in I guess 2013 or 14 with Donald Sterling. But there's language in the operations manual. It's called failure to appear language. It's going to be interesting. How do you handle when both teams boycott? I know Milwaukee, was being boycotted at first, and then Orlando joined them. But yeah, I mean, it's up to fines, forfeiture of the game here. But there is so much to be worked out here. We don't know what's going to happen with Oklahoma City, Houston, which is the 6:30 game, with Portland, Portland, the Lakers, which is the night game. If this is going to be moved to another date. But yeah, I mean, we've talked about it at length before this restart even happened, as far as what the financial ramifications were if there was never, this never happened. And it's, as far as from lost pay to long-term implication, billions of dollars, Woj wrote yesterday about the CBA, the extending, an extra month. We still have to go through the CBA talks for 2020-21. So I think we're still in the kind of the early stages to try to figure out where this is going to go and what's next. And it'd be interesting to hear from certainly players on Milwaukee and in Orlando here.
Bobby, you mentioned, the financial obligations that the league has to its, sponsors, its upholders, its broadcast partners, and everything in real time. But also we're dealing with a league in which we have Adam Silver as leadership that also prioritizes the moral obligation. So How do you think those conversations are being dealt with when it comes to fines and not playing and also waiving such actions? Because this is one game and it could happen more.
Yeah, that's a good question. I even felt weird just typing that out, the tweet, right? Like, it's like the letter of the law, but is it really going to be applied and should it? And I don't think it should. Because as I said, we're dealing with a situation here that we've never dealt with before. And, knowing how the commissioner has handled everything and his leadership, this is going to be something that he's going to want to, it's not like he's going to come down right now tonight and say, Milwaukee's going to forfeit game five and it's a $5 million fine. No, that's not how the commissioner works here. I mean, there is going to be open dialogue, through everything here. And we'll see where it goes. I think the interesting thing part about everything that's going on, guys, is that, and I was talking to people before, is like, I want to hear from the eight teams or the players on the eight teams that are not in Orlando, right? I mean, we keep on hearing from Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Fred VanVleet and Kyle and Chris Paul, and there's some great voices down there, but I think for these guys to be totally united, the 430-plus player, it's got to be all 30 teams here, right? It's got to be not just the teams that are in the bubble that are making a stand. And I know the options are limited outside of the teams in Orlando, but I want to hear from Kevin Durant. I want to hear from Kyrie Irving. I want to hear from Steph Curry and Draymond and Clay and all these other guys that are not in the bubble here, as far as, kind of uniting with the players down in Orlando.
It is an incredibly compelling situation and one that is constantly changing in front of us. So, Bobby, we appreciate the time and expertise as far as what happens next for the leagues here on that front. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And, Chiney, that's an interesting part that had sort of gone forgotten in all this, is we had talked about coming down to the bubble or not, the decision that so many players, including Kyrie Irving, weighed in on before this. But it is a reminder that everyone being down there together does give you an option to organize like this that maybe at the current moment those other teams that are a little more spread apart don't have. It doesn't preclude those voices from being involved in the conversation. But as we talked about the pros and cons, there is that pro of all of these leaders for the NBA are down in one place together and can have these conversations now as the situation goes forward.
Yeah, there are different ways that people are dealing and processing with what's happening in society. And we saw that when the decisions were being made, whether people are opting into the bubble or opting out of the bubble. And now we're seeing that conversation being explored while the bubble is in action. And the interesting part that Bobby had sort of brought up was Kyrie, because not too long ago, I can't even remember, because you know how quarantine days are different. I want to just say ballpark, maybe 2 weeks ago. I was on Zoom with Kyrie Irving, who had been a huge advocate. We always talk about Kobe. It was just 824 and how he changed the women's game. Kyrie Irving, we both were in the same McDonald's class. I've known him since I was a senior in high school. And I've known he's a different guy. And I remember when these conversations were just starting and Kyrie sort of said, hey, guys, we need to make a decision on, you know, like we need to explore all possibilities, whether it's going in and using our platform or is it choosing to boycott games or boycott the bubble. And I know at that time it seemed extremely radical. But now I would like to at least say that Kyrie was putting out an idea that people now are sort of starting to sort of understand, because this is a persistent reality for those in the NBA, where they are the, and in the WNBA as well, the majority of the minority, meaning it's a league comprised mostly of black and brown men, and also a number, if not all, which I assume it's all, because that's how I feel like our family is, of allies of such men. And so there are different ways that people are being impacted and individually feeling what they're feeling in this moment. And there are different ways people are going to react. We're seeing collective action right now between obviously the Bucks and the Magic. And we're also seeing players use their platforms in different ways outside of the bubble, whether it's continuing to protest or even Kyrie Irving creating a fund for us WNBA players who were not able to go into the bubble or chose to, continue in the protesting to make sure like we are financially secure. Everyone's doing their part. And I know there are opinions over games being played right now and games not being played. But overall, this is an individual's decision and an individual's prerogative. But these conversations in real time have lasting impact.
They do have lasting impact. And I think that's part of why Bobby brought up those names outside the bubble, because those are voices that have been involved in this. And if we're talking about the mobility of not being in that bubble, which a lot of players are finding restrictive right now, they're going to be important, but as important as the commissioner. I think Adam Silver, someone who has inserted himself very publicly into a lot of these conversations before, can go an even longer way in uniting in the way that Bobby talked about here. And his voice, the voices of some of the larger groups in the league, ownership, that level, are also ones that I think are going to be important, as you mentioned, allies involved in this, because we saw LeBron James just tweeted 3 minutes ago and said, F this man, we demand change, sick of it, all caps, as we look forward and wonder what the hell is going to happen with the Blazers and the Lakers game tonight. But those voices are one thing and part of the conversation, but it doesn't all have to fall on black people in this instance. And I think as we go forward, the NBA players continuing to use their position to leverage help and aid from the owners that live in a different world, that have access to different rooms in these conversations, as we try and address these things going forward, become a very integral part of this. So a lot more to continue on that one is, again, LeBron James reacting to this right now as we monitor the situation going forward with this, plus more of what's reacting to this, some news out of the Washington football team that we'll get to at some point going along today, is another article services about impropriety being reported behind the scenes there. Stick with us. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Really turning out to be a where were you when type of moment right now from inside of the NBA bubble. And the question that has started to hang on my mind, Chinay, it's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Gwumike. It is...
Oh, I think we have some more breaking news.
Oh, really? What did you just see? Go ahead, because we're getting this all in real time.
Okay, let me just pull up the tweet. According to Shams... One moment. Decision made. The Rockets and OKC players are planning to boycott game five of their series. Shams Charania of The Athletic and Stadium.
Yeah, so we keep hearing this from Woj, Shams, all the insiders out there right now as this situation unfolds. We know the Milwaukee Bucks and the Orlando Magic, the first one to kick off the dominoes that Chinay just mentioned, continuing to fall there. As we got that announcement, what felt like 15 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, as the Milwaukee Bucks and the Orlando Magic announced they were boycotting their Game 5 of their series as well in this one. And I think it's important to note, Chinay, in that one, and remember the connection, that what we saw, the shooting of Jacob Blake in Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Bucks being the hometown team there, choosing to be at the forefront of this one. Because remember, we had come onto the show today talking about the Raptors and the Celtics being the teams contemplating, not sure what they were going to do as they started the second round series in the Eastern Conference here. But the hometown Milwaukee Bucks, and we had heard from George Hill the other day, the comments that he made to Mark J. Spears, who's going to join us in a little bit, and others, certainly Sterling Brown and his story about his interaction with police in the state of Wisconsin. And so I think all of that is relevant as we look at the team that started this all and remembering how deeply personal this is for everyone, but certainly a team that knows this happened in their backyard while they were away.
Yes, this happened in their backyard, and obviously we heard George Hill talk about how conflicted he was, so much so that he said he feels like it doesn't feel right to be here in the bubble. But now it looks like there is collective discussion happening amongst the players in such a fashion that now we have games, plural, being boycotted. And so don't know what the implications are. I think it's an evolving situation. I have a couple people that I know in the bubble that are saying it is an evolving situation, and they are hopefully going to display some kind of act of unity, whether it's a statement or just even, you know, a display. But this is a moment. This really is a moment where, despite the situations, players are still using their talents to sort of advocate or at least put out a message and bring forth an example of, my presence should be valued. And how do you feel that? By not seeing it the way you expected, playing basketball.
Yeah, and I think that's an important, because a lot of people they're going to ask a lot of questions. And I saw someone tweet this, and I think it's important we all just kind of take a stop and take a minute to like breathe and realize what's happening here. Because we've heard from Bobby Marks talking about what happens if games aren't being played. We're obviously seeing that's becoming a reality, and we're waiting for Adam Silver's input on this, the input and the voices of more players as to what happens going forward tangibly. But for this moment to happen, like I think it's important to recognize, because people always talk about sports as an escape. And I don't say that just to demean fans who say that, because a lot of times people are reminded that there are certain things you can't walk away from. Athletes say this too. We hear this all the time for players that come after trials and tribulations in their life and say that sports was a place that helped them kind of calm down and do that. But this is a situation where I think it's prescient to ask, what happens when it's all too much? Like, this is a situation where, God, could you fault a group of players who saw this happen in a way that is deeply personal for some on that locker room because of their own history, and said, man, it just feels like too much. That with the stress of the bubble. We heard Paul George after their game last night, where he finally had a great game. Playoff P was back after hearing all the things he had. And he talked about the mental things that were going on inside of him in this bubble that's a completely different situation. We can see it from the outside and judge it however we want, say they have access to all of these things, but it's still different and mentally taxing in ways that we can't possibly understand not being in those shoes. And so what are we left to do if it's all too much sometimes? And I think for everyone who understands that part of sports can be an escape, even for the athletes involved, that sometimes there's just no running from certain things.
It's true. It's absolutely true. And, you know, I mentioned this yesterday, saying that sports is an escape. Typically where we go to watch sports, that's where we can go focus on, you know, just enjoyment and entertainment. But there are human beings that are actually playing the game. And I always tell people that no amount of success can save you from a society that, once you leave the arena, can judge you based on how you look or judge you based on your appearance. And that's the reality, that even though you're seeing and you're hearing from Doc Rivers or LeBron James or George Hill or Kyle Lowry or Fred VanVleet, this is the world and society they experience when they leave that arena. This is the world and society that they experience when it's their cousin or their uncle or their aunt or their grandmother. And it's gone from generation to generation. And it's something that we've sort of tried to call attention to. Just because you are an NBA player, WNBA player, a person with a platform, a celebrity, an influencer, that does not mean that you are excluded from a situation in which you have no power to convey your value or worth because people are judging you based on what you look like. And that is the reality that we face each and every day. And that's a reality that people are just coming now to understand. It's painful, but it's truthful. It's truthful. And if we care about sports so much right now, and we care about watching and supporting these athletes, we have to keep that same energy when these athletes are literally telling you this is their experience that is more important than even playing, more important than their paychecks. This is something that they've been conditioned to have to experience and be traumatized by, and it's normalized over and over and over again.
It is. It's been normalized far too often, and the idea that, and you know, everyone out there is probably going to say, you know, everyone has hardships in their lives and they have to show up and work. But we have to understand these aren't normal circumstances. Sports at times aren't normal circumstances. And certainly this summer, this time in reality, in the world, in this country, are far from normal circumstances. A lot more to react to is, again, we're seeing the decision to boycott NBA games started by the Milwaukee Bucks and the Orlando Magic and continue to monitor that. It's Chenango Look Jr. on ESPN Radio.